Hey guys, man, it's great to be together again. Hope you're having just a great day. Man, I'm excited today. We're going to be talking about getting ready for Easter, both from a programming perspective and also a marketing perspective, and really also from a follow-up perspective once Easter's over. So I'm really excited about what we're going to talk today. I got my peeps with me. Been together for a long time. A lot of you know our son, Michael. He's our creative pastor at this stage of his journey. He was our worship pastor for about 12 years. And then we have Miss Amy Duffley with us. And Amy's been on staff for over 20 years. She started as our creative producer, put on musical dramas that literally 10% of the area would come to. And then she became the creative director that oversaw all the creativity in all of our service ministries. And now she's a community life director. So she's going to be able to bring some follow-up perspective today, as well as her rich perspective from doing all the things that we've done for 20 years. So I think today's going to be really, really helpful. We're going to share 12 tips to preparing for a great Easter season, both from a programming, a marketing, and follow-up perspective. So, guys, so glad you're with us.
Thank you. Yes. Thanks for having us.
It's fun to get to be here.
Yeah.
My first webinar to do with you guys. That's kind of cool.
Is this your first one?
Yeah.
I thought you were on one before, but you never were.
No.
Okay. Well, here we go. Well, before we start, we're going to share these 12 tips, but I want to welcome our new members to the Significant Church Network. And man, we're so excited to hear about pastors coming out of seclusion and into the kind of solid friendships that really bless our lives. You know, we had our monthly pastors gathering. We do something monthly. And we really don't like these to be bigger than five or six couples because it's a time of laughter. It's a time where we all leave with takeaways that we're really grateful for. Mm-hmm. But the relationships are getting so deep. And I think about what Jesus shared. This has really captured me recently. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19 and 20, he said, "Again, truly, I tell you." Now, when I read that, I always chuckle a little bit because I'm one of those people that will say, "Honestly, you know, honestly." And sometimes people say back to me, "So you weren't honest the rest of the time, right?" But even Jesus said, "So truly, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for," how powerful is that? Anything you ask for. "It'll be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I'm in the midst of them." And, you know, we all understand John 15:5, that without him we can do nothing. And that motivates my prayer life and the stewardship of my prayer life and the stewardship of my relationship with God. But Matthew 18, to think that so much of what God wants to do in my life doesn't happen if I don't relate to people well. Man, right. That's really powerful to me. And to think that just as you prioritize time with God, you need to prioritize time with people. Mm-hmm. And it's exciting for me to see pastors who are laughing more, who are enjoying life more, and who are learning the things that they need to really reach the dream that's inside their heart. Because God's bringing to them the resources they need through relationships they absolutely enjoy. And that's really our mission at Significant Church. But anyway, I want to welcome some new members to Significant Church today. I love doing this every 2 weeks. Pastor Dale Berry from First Christian Church in Kingsville, Texas. Pastor Philip Davis from the Upper Room Church of God in Morristown, Tennessee. Pastor Tracy Dingus from Lighthouse Church of Somerset, Kentucky. Pastor Nick Gass from River of Life Christian Center in Bridgeport, Texas. Pastor Antonio Gregory from Long's Chapel Ministry in Hobgood, North Carolina. And then Pastor Ikem Grigsby from Word of Life Church in Donaldsville, Louisiana. Pastor Aaron Johnson from Baywoods Assembly of God in Pensacola, Florida. Pastor Brian Magala from Holy Spirit Ministries in Lowell, Indiana. Pastor Delvin Miller from Clear Faith Christian Ministries in Cedar Hill, Texas. Pastor Brian Patterson from Grace for GR, Wyoming, Michigan. Pastor Jody Patterson from the River Church in Bar Harbor, Maine, which my wife and I were just there in September. We absolutely love Bar Harbor. Pastor John Serio from Spring Journey Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Pastor Seth Switzer from Restoration Church in Monticello, New York. And Pastor Greg Thomas from the True Vine Baptist Church in Alton, Virginia. And you know, Mike, when I read those, I just think about, I've got two more. Pastor Phil Valdez from Passion Life Church in Marietta, Georgia. and Chuck Wagner from Norris City Church of God in Norris City, Illinois. But when I read those, honestly, how many of those cities, when I read them, you knew about them or you've been there?
Not a lot.
Not very many, right?
Not very many.
And God's up to something. God is going to build thriving churches in places where, man, people may not know the name of the town, but the people in that town are going to know the name of Jesus and the powerful things that he does because of what God's up to in churches. So, well, let's get started. And we're going to talk about 12 tips for preparing great Easter programming and marketing. And this probably doesn't shock you guys, being on my team for a long time, but my first one is start as soon as possible. In other words, planning plays. Yeah. Whether you want to admit it, whether you don't want to admit it, we've learned that planning plays. And we have 52 days till Easter right now, I think. Is that right? 52, a little over 7 weeks. And really, when did we, in the past, when did we start planning Easter? This year, when did we start planning Easter?
This year?
This year, I could tell you.
Yeah.
But, I mean, first of all, we do a plan every year in the summer to start. So we have
a webinar about that if anybody wants to pull it up online.
Yeah, you can pull it up on our website or on our YouTube. And so we get into great detail there as to what goes into our summer planning. And so we're laying things out as early as that. Now, part of our plan is that basically when the new year rolls around, we're starting to look at Easter. So that's when we dive in a little bit deeper. So, yeah.
Yeah, I love that scripture where Jesus, he was in Judea and they started saying, hey, you're baptizing more than John the Baptist. And Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, we got to get out of here. And it says he went to Samaria and stood by a well and he talked to a woman who had been married 5 times. And the man she was living with wasn't her husband. And Jesus opened her heart and through opening her heart, opened up the heart of Samaria where many came to receive salvation. And I love that because Jesus taught something there. He said, lift up your eyes and see the harvest. And what he was saying is the harvest was all around you. You just didn't see it. Mm-hmm. And Easter is a time I think of that as much as any other time that people are going to come who don't normally come. And if we plan for their hearts and if we minister well to their hearts, it can open up not just them. It can open up their whole family, their whole friend relationship network. So it is a time that I'm, you know, I just get super excited about. And we plan in the summer, but we really get into hard planning right now, which is why we want to do the webinar, because we want to help people. I know I've had a lot of staff over the years, and for most of us, about the extent of the planning we learned was list making. So if I ask somebody, show me how you plan, usually you make a list. Right. But if I'm an architect and I'm going to build a great building, I can't say, okay, I'm going to order sheetrock. I'm going to make sure the cement company's there. Planning is list making, but it's way more than list making. Mm-hmm. It's putting everything on paper before you ever start so that everything from who you want to reach, what the series is going to be, and all those things is going to come together. Now, for people that are just learning it, obviously you can't do what we did in the summer. But you still have 52 days until Easter Sunday. And God can do a lot to have you do more this Easter than you would have done if you didn't say, okay, I'm going to start 52 days early, and I'm going to really start planning everything that we want to do. And you'll get to laugh with us in a minute. We sure haven't done it perfect, but we learn from every year.
That's right. And we would, depending on the size of the production, I mean, we would already be past planning and development and already into rehearsals right now, if depending on the size of what we were doing for Easter.
This year we are because we feel like the pandemic is shifting to endemic and we're going to go ahead.
Mm-hmm. We're in tune rehearsals.
Yeah, most of our churches are at 80-85% right now. Different states are different. If you're in a state that's real liberal, you can't be like Texas probably.
Right.
But even for 85% of our people, the pandemic's over. We're living, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that you started with start ASAP because really everything we're going to talk about, this is fundamental to that. You know, to be able to do a lot of what we're talking about, it's important that we have time to be able to do those kind of things. So I think it's a great place to start. And, you know, it's a major bummer when you have all these great ideas and you don't have time to pull them off. Oh, you know, because it takes time to.
That's like the name of the game when I come into the creative team. You guys have more ideas than I can pull off and more than I can afford both.
So when you give yourself time, you allow yourself to be creative. Sometimes creatives think that, you know, maybe don't think of planning as like, oh man, you know, they kind of buck planning sometimes. We, I should say, as creatives kind of buck planning naturally. But it's part of life, first of all. Administration, organization is part of life. And actually, it frees you up to actually be creative and turn intentions into reality. So I love that we're starting with that. It also can be fun. You know, one thing, Amy, we used to do, and we actually did it this year as we were getting ready for Easter season. And when you have big seasons, it can be really fun to do this where you just get the team together. And we don't do this a lot, but we actually went off campus somewhere where we could get coffee.
Yeah.
We could have lunch together. And we spent.
Why didn't you ever invite the pastor?
You stay pretty busy yourself.
Yeah, so. Pretty busy schedule there.
But, you know, we were able to sit around together and dream up Easter. And, you know, everyone's involved. Everyone's, you know, giving input. And, you know, you bring production into it as well. And so you have time when you're just dreaming. You have time when you're getting to detail. But it can actually be a real team bonding experience when you do things like that. Or at least I know it has been for us.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. You know, when I first started pastoring, I felt so much pressure to preach good. And we have to feel pressure to preach good. We'll talk about that. But the thing that I enjoy so much right now is that when I step in here on Easter, I'm using my gifts, but the people around me, so many of them are using gifts I don't have.
Right.
And I get to experience that. So starting as soon as possible is a great way. And let's just say you're not as creative. I don't consider myself, maybe I consider myself moderately creative. I'm not like these guys. I know when I'm with them, like, you know, I can't jump and slam a basketball. Well, I can't be as creative as they can be. They have a gift. But I have other gifts like arranging things and making sure it all comes out okay. So I try to bring my gifts to the table. And that kind of brings us to tip number two, and that is, we start as soon as possible, and especially if you don't feel that creative, don't start by yourself. Bring a lot of people in the room and say, hey, this Easter, this is what I'd like the people in our community to really feel. And I can't wait to go through all 12 of these tips because they all work together. But this is what I want them to feel. And I'll tell you what we want our people to feel here in just a minute. And because I want them to feel that, I'm going to bring 5 or 6 people into my office that I think that we can have a really good time pulling this all together. And the second tip we have is check your resources and your ministry alignment. In other words, just because you're thinking it doesn't mean you're going to do it.
Oh, my goodness. That is so true. That is so true. But, you know, one thing that is really what people don't really realize with creativity is creativity works really well within boundaries. In fact, it flourishes more when you have the boundaries to understand what you have to do to create. And to me, the mark of a true creative leader is the ability to see those boundaries and then find the workarounds, because obviously you have the big three resources. You have your budget, your time, and your manpower. And depending on what those are, you can really blow it if you're not considering those properly. I know one time, Pastor, you'll remember when someone in the past, they wrote a script for an 18 speaking parts when we only had 6 microphones.
I remember.
And didn't have the budget to go buy all the other microphones, you know. Oh. And then there was a time, I know, when we had a technical director one time that we did have the budget. We spent the money and we got all this equipment in to do this great lighting stuff. And that person did not manage their time well. They didn't budget their time properly, and we couldn't even maximize the money we spent, and it was very frustrating. So we've learned a lot of things about planning. Really, planning comes into every part of every bit of it.
Right.
And hands down, the people factor is the biggest make or break in anything. If you don't know who to trust and who to empower, and if you don't bring in enough people to empower to get the job done, it takes a team, you know, really it does. And when you do that well, the results are incredible.
Yeah, they are. And I just encourage you, just start small and do something that your church is more excited about than they were last year. And if you do that, you succeeded.
Right.
And one time we had a lady, precious lady, who's in heaven now. Remember, she built that mountain, and it was the first time we saw that you could build a mountain like this.
Yeah.
And it was so exciting for people to come into the church and realize we could build that mountain. And then, you know, I encourage you to be friends with pastors in your town. We didn't have money for a fog machine, But Northside Baptist let us use theirs on a July 4th production, the one they used for Easter. And so I was going to preach on the Ten Commandments. We did a July 4th musical drama to get everybody ready for the series. And we had Jim Moss, who was like an old preacher up on the top of the mountain. And I got done with my intro, and they did too much fog. And when he was supposed to do his part, he was just up there hacking and coughing. And we had to start over. But it was fun. It brought something really cool right to church.
Oh, yeah. He said, Pastor, can we just start over?
Yeah.
And we're like, oh,
that's exactly,
you know,
yeah.
That's not what you do in the middle of a production. Anyway.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously you don't want too many of those, but we had 5 minutes, maybe. I don't think my introduction was more than 5 minutes, but we had a do-over that we had to do. But really, again, to try to help you avoid those mistakes,
right,
we say to you, start as soon as possible and make sure that you do it within your resources and also your ministry alignment. And then there's a third tip that we give you in getting ready for Easter, and that is get your team leaders and your team members all recruited and scheduled. It's going to require some extra band practices to do some of the songs that you want to do. Video can be added. And you know what amazes me today is the video you can add from an iPhone. I mean, when you think of where we started, you know, 30 years ago, and what you can do now with just very inexpensive equipment is very effective. But it's going to require extra time. But here's why it's worth it to me is I realized as a pastor, I could attract people to a certain degree with the anointing and teaching gift on my life. But man, when we finally got this to the point, we were attracting a tenth of the city. It was just so exciting. But you really have to, I mean, again, we learned the hard way, right? We had people quit in the middle of practices. We had things we had to solve. And we would encourage everybody, get your team leaders together and get your team members all scheduled. Make sure they understand what you're asking before you start.
Right, right. You want to get that expectation clear out front because, you know, as things ramp up, it's not something you want to be dealing with, trying to change things out and deal with all that kind of drama as you're producing and executing. And so one thing that we've learned here that I really like, and I think it's good to train yourself, not just to think team, or not just to think task, but to think team. You know, anytime you're doing something, think about team. What are the gifts of people that could help make this happen? Really, the goal is to mobilize the gifts of the people in our church, the people around us, that the body of the church would, you know, everyone would take their place. And so that does a couple of things for us as leaders. One, it gives people a chance to use their gifts, obviously, which means now they're connected at a whole new level, right? They're connected to what the production or the Easter Sunday, whatever's going on. They're connected ultimately to their church at a whole new level. So that's important. Also, everyone connected to them is more connected, right? So people are going to come be supportive. They're going to be talking about what's going on at church. So it plays in a lot of ways. And another thing that it does for us as leaders is it frees us up, in a sense, to lead even more, right, to grow. How are you going to grow? How are you going to expand? How are you going to pull more off? Well, the more you can get really quality people involved, the more you can bring in good leaders and people to do different things. We can't do it all on our own, or we're gonna max out really quickly. So, I love what we've been taught to, you know, don't just think about task, but think team before you think task.
Yeah, you're kind of young to remember this, but when you were a kid, the Dallas Cowboys were in a lot of Super Bowls in a row. You remember one of them because we're from Pittsburgh.
That
one didn't come out the way we wanted it to. But Norv Turner became the offensive coordinator when Jimmy Johnson became the head coach, and they drafted Michael Irvin and Emmitt Smith and Troy Aikman. And Norv Turner had a great reputation. He'd been a high-level OC for a long time. But what he did was he took all the plays he ever drew up and he brought them to Michael and to Emmitt and to Troy. And he said, guys, tell me what plays you think you can win with. And those guys took the playbook and they helped Norv Turner come up with a playbook that won 3 Super Bowls. And I would just say that that's kind of what you do every time you have a musical drama.
Right.
You can't start with what you want to do.
Right.
Do I have the voice? Do I have the talent? Do I have this person? And Amy, over the years, you've drawn big crowds, whether it was a three-person cast or whether it was an eight-person cast. So,
or a 100-person cast. But you can draw. We've done all different sizes of casts, and having the right people involved is, it's just special. I mean, it really is.
Right.
And then one of the things that you've taught us is how to really use their time well as well. Because we've made mistakes in early years where we just didn't schedule people properly and they can get frustrated. And we've learned how to really utilize people's time, honor their time. And boy, the benefits and the dividends we get back are amazing.
And that's work up front, right?
Yeah,
it is. But it's worth doing.
It's so worth doing it.
You know, you talked about the big three. Say those big three again.
The big three is budget, time, and talent, people. People. Those are your resources you have to work with. And you can spend them, in all three of them can be misspent, including people.
Yeah.
And I made some mistakes early years with people. I would get them all, and Mike, we've been there where you get volunteers to come and they sit for hours.
Right.
And you're not utilizing their time properly. And you'll lose people if you overuse their time or if you underuse their time. And it both ways play out. So being a real good planner with how you plan, how you use money and how you use people's time and then your time, it's all so important.
Yeah, a lot of pastors quit because at this point they're saying, I think I'd rather just preach. I'm just being honest. I think I'd rather go find some good Elevation songs or good Bethel songs or good Hillsong songs and make people feel a little better. And I don't know if I want to do all this, but it's really not hard. It's not hard. It's just different.
Yeah.
And so when we say, you know, start as soon as possible, make sure that you have the big three taken care of and really make sure people are scheduled well before you start. Visionaries, we don't do that naturally. And we made plenty of mistakes here that way early before we learned. But I'm going to talk about some of the benefits now, why this is worth it. And that is you always identify new potential leaders in the process. Right. That's the fourth tip. Don't do all this and let it be over when the production's over. But recognize that you're going to find leaders for your church. And for us, we operate by the Moses model in the church. And what the Moses model says is that people need interpersonal ministry for their prayers to be answered. So, you know, as a pastor, God said to Moses, the people aren't going to get the help they need if you're the only source of ministry. They need people who are ministering in a small group way to their hearts. And these things really help us find that, because if we have a problem, we can ask so-and-so to try to resolve it for us and see how it goes. And pretty soon, I mean, you built quite a team to go from the original ones that we had to attracting, you know, 8,000-9,000 people in this town.
Yeah, I absolutely love this quote, so I'm going to read it so I say it right. But Dwight D. Eisenhower said, leadership is the art of getting someone else to do something you want done because he wants to do it. And production time and creativity, when we're having special services, the vision is so compelling. It is such an exciting time for leaders to rise up because they get really excited and passionate about your vision. So they join you in that. And you really, it's one thing that is kind of safe too, because honestly, with a special service like an Easter, when you're doing something big and you need a lot of leaders to come in and help you get it done, it gives you the opportunity to kind of test out their leadership ability. And you have enough high accountability and inspection that's going on that if ever there's a little lack, you can always pull in reinforcements with other people. But it's really amazing when a team bands together like that. Stars begin to shine. You know, those leaders begin to come up and you can see and identify people that, man, you want them to become leaders in more of a flywheel basis in your future of your church.
Right.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Hey, you want to try people and test people before you put them in leadership roles. And it's a great way. So if you come out of, we used to say this, that our goal was a month of visitor flow. When we were putting in the hard work, we would say we want to see a month of visitor flow, a month of salvation. And early on, we didn't think about when we want to see new leaders. We didn't say that. Mm-hmm. But now I realize that's one of the things you want to look for the most when you're in these times. Here's tip five, and that is choose your Easter message and series strategically. So for us, what really has my heart right now, because You know, we've seen 400 people in our sanctuary come to Christ the last 3 months. And you double that if you count Children's Sanctuary, Next Gen Sanctuary, Celebrate Recovery, and those kind of ministries that are going on. But George Barna shared a stat that really is going to define a lot of my focus in the next 10 years. And that is that 51% of Christians think they have a worldview, but when they're tested, only 6% do. And so that is what's gripping my heart right now, is that to me, the biggest thing that needs to happen in my community, for my community to get better, and our nation, for our nation to get better, is that Christians have to learn how to live as Christians. And the blessing on us has to attract our neighbors to what it is that we believe. And so I'm going to do a series this Easter I'm passionate about called The Good Life. And the tagline is that life changes when hearts do. And I just want to help people laugh at how they're asking God for stuff that really the key is just heart change. And if heart change happens, then the prayer is going to be answered.
Right.
Yeah. So that tip that we're on now is choose your Easter message and series strategically. And what a great, I mean, really, Easter is such a great opportunity for creative collaboration. And I don't mean creative element. I mean, collaboration of the whole church and everything you're doing, from the sermon to the greeters to what's happening in your connection center and your connect areas of your church, all of it coming together collaboratively, because really everything, marketing is about messaging and creating awareness. That's what marketing is. So everything from the parking lot to the sermons to your greeters, to what's going on in your sanctuary, it's all messaging something. Right. And when we're thinking, and Pastor is so good about this, I had so much fun working with you for so many years on creativity, because I would ask Pastor, I'd say, what do you want their walk off to be? When they walk out of here after Easter, what do you want? And he'd just tell me what was in his heart, and it was like, okay, we can make that happen, and here's all the ways. And it's so layered, and it should be layered. It should really be given that kind of intentionality of thought throughout your entire staff and your church and all that you're doing to really, because it's not, I love this, it's not really what we think. It matters what they think when it comes to marketing and messaging. And we want them to realize and see who we are, who God is, and that connecting with us and connecting with what we have to offer, which is Jesus and all this love and all the connect and support of a church family, that it's going to better their life. And if we get them to really believe that by exuding that, then we can really win them, you know? And so we do that in a way where with our Easter, we don't do something outlandish. Pastors really cast such great vision to us as a staff to kind of stay with who we really are and show who we really are. But the best, we really kind of ramp up best version, just like in any celebration with a family. Yeah, we put our best foot forward, but it's who we authentically are in everything we do. So when the guest comes, they really get a sense of what is Faith Family Church and what could it be for me?
Yeah. I want to thank you guys for letting us know how this is helping you on the timeline, things that are really being helpful. And also, like I say all the time, this is like our lunch hour. We do it every couple of weeks. And I try to bring people that I know you'd love having lunch with. And what you just said there really kind of leads into this next tip, and that is make Easter as much like other Sundays as we possibly can. And this year, I'm just going to give a feel for the things that we wanted our church people to kind of grow in. First, we want them to grow in their personal devotions. So, I mean, we wrote a brand new prayer manual that was like $10 prayer journal, and people bought them. You know, they wanted to learn how to pray. But we also did a series with it, which was called Praying with Impact, where we talked about how we're to come to the throne of God's grace, and we taught them how to dethrone things that were causing them not to have their prayers answered. Dethrone anger over all the things that happened to you. Dethrone bitterness and begin to really believe that God can change that part of your life. Dethrone disappointment and start delighting yourself in the Lord, believing that He'll give you the desires of your heart. So we didn't like preach a message on it. We took 6 weeks. And by the time that was over, you're thinking, okay, do I really want to just come to church on Sunday? Or do I want to be a person that starts having my prayers answered? And do I want to let God deal with these issues in my heart? And now we're in a series on loving like Jesus loves. That, for instance, when the disciples fell asleep in the garden, Jesus didn't say, "You're fired." He said, "You know what? I believe through personal development, you can get past your problems." And so we're helping families see the power of love right now. And that'll take us to Easter. And then on Easter, we want Easter to be a time when people feel the power of Sunday mornings. Right. So we're going to start this series on discipleship, but we're not going to do like a big event. We're going to make it more like Sunday. Now, we are going to do a big event called Tombs the week before. And, you know, I had two pastors, and I learned a little bit from each one. One was Pastor Billy Joe, and man, he could put on a big production. His son, John Doherty, still does some of the greatest productions in our country. And I saw how you could attract the community. Man, and Amy, like you said, you make the cast big. Their grandma, their grandpa, everybody's here, and you get to share the gospel with them. But I saw that from Billy Joe. My father-in-law, John Osteen, would be like, "Jim, that's too much work. I'm not going to do it." And he made me realize that you could do all the work and end up with nothing when it was all over, right, which is true. So what was really cool was whenever we had 8,000 people or so, he called me up and he said, "Jim, is there a way you could bring that to Houston? Could you like put it in a truck and do it up here?" And so he saw the value of what Billy Joe saw. But what we really feel like we've learned is Palm Sunday is a great time. You get this big pre-Easter crowd. Right. And then you come back Sunday and you ramp it up. It's a little bit bigger. But if your goal is to help them understand the power of being in church every week, you don't want to necessarily make it something that when they come back the next week, it's not even the same thing.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. That's what I like about this approach, because Easter, our goal with Easter is not for people to walk away and say, "Wow, that was awesome. I can't wait to come back to their next big production." Right.
Right.
I mean, you know, there's some good that they want to come back and those things. But really what we want people to say is, "Man, that was awesome. Jesus is awesome. And man, I need church in my life," you know. Mm-hmm. And so we really, it's a ramped up Sunday morning, as you're saying. And so obviously we really want to make it a great experience from the parking lot till the time they leave, you know, every part of that is important. But the goal is that we want people to know that, you know, when you come back next week, and we hope you do, you're going to experience something similar to this. Maybe not quite the level of production, because we have to be realistic. But this is church. You know what I mean? And so in order to do that, we ramp it up as a really good church service. And there are some things we do a little bit differently, obviously, because we know on Easter we have people coming to church who maybe don't come to church regularly or haven't been here that much. So we really work hard in our programming to make sure we meet people where they are. We don't take as much for granted with the Creaster crowd that come at Christmas and Easter. And, you know, so we'll design pieces that help them know a little bit more about Jesus and about us as a church.
Yeah.
Because we know they're visiting. So I think that approach, it works not just for having a great Easter service, but for carrying that momentum forward with people.
You might be wanting to talk about this later. You have some things you're even going to make available to people, right?
Yeah, I was going to later, but I can't.
Yeah, and that's one reason I just encourage you to watch churches that are maybe just a little bit ahead of you on websites, because that's how I'm creative. I'm creative in that I watch people who are succeeding. I think I can do that. And I can make some adjustments to go to the next level.
Yeah.
But that's a really good thought.
Yeah, so.
Well, the next thing, and this is one you just can't take for granted, is prepare your people to personally invite others. And I'll start March 27th for the April 10th, April 17th season. And, of course, we talked about one way that's natural is if you need to have four or five key cast members to pull something off, have a crowd scene, because grandmas and grandpas show up for crowd scenes, aunts and uncles show up. And so I'd encourage you that whatever you plan, remember the power of the crowd. If you want to build a crowd, gather a crowd.
Yeah.
But the other thing is in Luke 14, where Jesus talked about why church people weren't inviting people to God's house. And it wasn't because the sermon was bad. It wasn't because the music was bad. It wasn't because the church was bad. It was because people were so lost in their own families, lost in their own businesses, lost in their own habits, that they weren't inviting. And I think the stat is something like 80% of people, if you'll invite them, if you'll say, will you sit with me? And if you'll take them to lunch afterwards, that they'll say yes to your invitation. So it's important that you let people know things like that so that they're more aware. Now, we use Bringvitation cards here because if we do 8 series a year, we ask our people, man, a couple times a year, believe God to have somebody sitting beside you. Mm-hmm. But it's really important that we don't just expect people to bring people, but that we actually invite them. The other thing I think is important, and then I'll let you guys talk about this, is, you know, if you sing 4 or 5 songs on a weekend, cut it back to 3. If you take a 4-minute offering, cut it back to just a minute. And give yourself time to teach for 10 minutes or so, to talk about why this production even matters today, right. why you chose it. Because you want to connect the people to the senior pastor and his ability to help people walk with God.
Right.
So with that tip, preparing your people to invite others, I mean, pastor's really been intentional to have us build that in the culture of our church. Because word of mouth, I mean, we all know that's the best form of marketing is word of mouth. And so we do provide tools and ways. So not only do we inspire them to invite others, but we also provide them tools to do so. We have Facebook shares and our Bringvites, different flyers. And then, of course, like Pastor was saying, when you get people, and if you can get kids in your production, I mean, sometimes, many times, I would intentionally design kids into it, because when you have kids, then for sure you get every child has their family members and friends and parents, and they just want to brag on their kids and bring people in. And it's just been a wonderful opportunity of spreading out our marketing, right, by using our cast. But people get really inspired, and they're proud. They're proud of their church. They're proud of what they're doing. They're proud of what their church is. They're proud of Jesus.
Right.
And you get them all excited about sharing, and we really do a good job. I think we do a good job because we're very intentional about it, of getting them to keep the focus on it's not just about a show we're doing, or it's not just about this fun creativity, but what you're doing, even in the littlest part, is you are getting rewarded in heaven. You'll be rewarded in heaven for all the souls. And people get so excited to think that they can be a part of bringing lives to Christ with their action of moving a set around. But it's the truth. They helped make it happen. So we get people all excited about that. And pastors helped us to really encourage us how to do that with our team, of making them feel like, which is the truth, what they're doing is eternally.
Right.
Yeah,
it's
eternal.
The church.
It's being the church.
Yeah.
And they're so proud of Jesus and so proud of that they go out and they do a lot of inviting. And it's wonderful.
I'm going to go off script just a minute, but it's just so easy for people to take things for granted. And I know there were times, Mike, when I was raising you guys, and I think, man, I'm working hard to be a good dad. Maybe I need to, like, get an orphan kid who will appreciate this. Because you just get used to it, right? You expect your dad to buy you this stuff and to take this stuff and to be at this and do that. But I want to say this, especially for smaller church pastors. When you were talking about that, and our church was small, we'd say this, we'd say, you know, we want Easter to be a big deal in our kids' hearts. Or we want Christmas to always be a big deal in our kids' hearts. The drawing power of that on volunteer labor is huge.
Right.
The drawing power of that even for people giving to their church is huge. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't have it especially, I feel like sometimes I'm fighting the fact that they feel like they have it, to be honest, in the life of our church. And that's a whole other challenge. But for those of you who feel like, well, what he's talking about, I'm too small to do that. No, we started with 80 families when we started doing this. We didn't wait till we got bigger. We started with what we had. And part of how you do that is, as a pastor, you look at everything that you do and maybe even keep a time diary. You know, time diaries are things where you write down every 15 minutes what you're doing. And then look and say, what really could I delegate so I could give myself to lead some of these kind of projects in the church?
Mm-hmm.
Or what could I do? Because I can tell you that it was so exciting back in the old days when people were 200 people for 10 years and it was a great church. But they had fun doing some new things.
Right.
You know, it was fun being able to lead them into that. So
yeah.
It kind of leads to this, though, that you can do all the work and not get the outcome if you don't do some of the things we talked about, which is get your people ready to invite. And your marketing plan, as Amy said, really is helping you to create this word-of-mouth movement in town, right?
Right, for sure. I like where you went off script real quick. I might, if I can, I can say something to that. Because you said taking for granted, and sometimes, too, people can take for granted what happens and not realize that they're needed.
Yeah.
You know, you see that happen often when you ask someone, hey, you know, would you like to do this? They're like, oh, I didn't even know that was a need. So putting that in front of people is important because people won't always come to you, you know, wanting to serve. Sometimes you have to let people know, you know, service opportunities are available. And I've learned to always present it as an opportunity. You don't want people serving out of obligation. You don't want people serving as, you want people to understand this is an opportunity because it just changes the culture of the way your teams interact and those kind of things.
So, no, can I just say that I've experienced at different times, I've even heard staff over the years say, oh, well, I don't want to ask them to do that.
Right.
And I thought, are you kidding? They're getting an opportunity. Like, I really do see.
It is an opportunity.
I served the church for 20 years, I guess, before I worked in the church. And I just value volunteerism because it made a difference for me. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I could talk to my daughter recently moved to Austin. And the other day, I'm going to want to cry. She had tears in her eyes and she said, I miss my church. I miss what I did. It made me feel so fulfilled. She doesn't live here anymore, so she can't serve. And I didn't even know she felt that way, but she said, I was so fulfilled being the creative director of the youth. I think it was student ministry with Jeff or something.
Yeah.
But, you know, it matters to people.
Right. Well, there are a lot of pastors that will go to church and they'll leave and they'll say, I can't figure this out. I preach as good as that guy does. I know I'm as good or even better preacher than that guy was. And they'll think, why does his church do that? You just hit on it, that it's just one part of the service.
Right.
And helping people really connect to the unique person God made them and the passions they have and the skills he put in them. And we had art teachers who would say to us, you know, I'd work hard on my sermon. It'd be a good one. But they would say to me, you know what I love about this church? And I'm thinking, yeah, my sermon. And they would go, what I really love is that I get to use my gifts and build this set and do these things. So it's one of those things that it really does help you think about it.
Yeah.
I don't know, Mike, did we talk about tip 8, which was prepare your marketing
plan?
I know
no.
I kind of let us off.
No, I went on your rabbit trail with you, but empowering our church family to really invite people because that's really fusing both marketing and empowering people as a church.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've been doing, this year we're doing it again. We've been doing those prayer walks where we have people who are walking neighborhoods and people praying over our city. And we also have some door hangers that they're putting on doors just to let people know what's going on this Easter at Faith Family Church. So that's a cool way to kind of do both of those things, to involve people and to get marketing out there. But we're, you know, you've known a lot of the other stuff that we're doing, but we're also, social media is a great opportunity to get the word out there. I think, you know, Easter's a good time to consider doing some paid social media ads because people are thinking about church, going to church. So you don't want to just spend money, but you want to invest it, right? And so what better time through social media? I do want to mention quick, too, because you mentioned this, but we're going to make some resources available. Some stuff for in-service, some stuff for social media, some stuff for graphics for Easter, anything like that. If it can be of help to you, then please feel free to check it out. They're going to drop a link in the chat. Every month we release resources for members of Significant Church Network. So in March we're going to be releasing some of this stuff, but we wanted to get it early to the people who are on the webinar. So there's going to be a link dropped in the chat. Or you can go to the archive of this webinar later on the website and you can get those. We have a couple lyric videos for worship songs if you want to do some creative stuff in worship this year. So if it can help you, then that's awesome. Please feel free to check that out. But anyway, you covered it. Get out early. We're going to run a month campaign on billboards in town. Talking about, we're going to have a couple that are just about our church and a statement to our community and our service times, and then we have some digital billboards that are going to have more specific things like tombs and Easter, just letting the community know, you know, around Easter time that, hey, we're here, We love you. This is what's going on. Because people are prone to think about church around this time. So it's a really good time to start thinking about those things.
Yeah, and I'd encourage people the best you can to measure your marketing. I just was on a call yesterday afternoon on our school marketing, and we have record new enrollments. But, you know, we went a different way. We brought a marketing company in. We did some things that you don't even see billboards around town for our school. But yet we beat our other marketing
for last year.
So I'd encourage you to try different things. Cities are different. With Faith Family Church, people almost want to know what we're going to do because we've been here and things have been going on for a long time. But, you know, marketing plays. There's just no question about it.
And one great thing about social media is those analytics are very easy to follow, to measure. So it really works well.
Yeah, I'm glad you know how to do that. You can tell me about it. I know how to read my reports. Well, here's number 9. We're going to talk about saturating the week in prayer. And Amy, this is something for sure that you grew up in a family where the church started in your house. Your dad has led intercession for over 40 years. And just like last night, I was talking to your mama, you know, and we were just talking about the different prayer things that are in our church. And I can tell you that our intercessory team is kind of like they are the big heavy hitters, that they pray over big things for me, that I know when God moves, that intercessory prayer is incredibly important. And then, but there are other things like awakened prayer groups that cause prayer to get stimulated in our broader body, you know. But the thing that we know is that prayer always stimulates Holy Spirit activity. And so making prayer a part of the DNA of your church is so important. And I love the fact that we're going to be doing prayer walks this year. And our goal is to saturate to 33,000 homes in this area. If we all just prayed over 30 homes, we could do that, right?
Right.
Right. Well, I really do love how, Pastor, you always say that your number one job as the lead pastor is prayer.
Yeah.
And that brings such security because then we know that the springboard of everything we do is Holy Spirit led. So that same Spirit flows down from you through everything we do. So yes, prayer is just critical. I loved walking by, like we'd be in rehearsals and I would walk by the room where the intercessors are and you just hear them praying and you just feel so much support of Holy Spirit support in what you're doing. And yes, we have awakened prayer groups that are all over the city and providing the door hangers for people to go around to doors and pray. And we're getting the cast to pray. And we pray before every single rehearsal because it's not, the talent can take you so far. That's it. Talent can take you so far, but it takes the Holy Spirit to change a heart. And so we value that to such a great degree that we do not at all hesitate to make that a big driving force of everything we do, where we are completely saturating everything in prayer that we're going forward to do.
Yeah. And Mike, your mom launched all those awakened prayer groups. I mean, there's so many ladies praying all over this community. But it was from Jeremiah where it said, death has creeped through the window. And man, how that's happened. Death has creeped through screens that are getting our kids. Death is creeping through windows in so many ways. And when we pray, it's a reminder to the church that the Holy Spirit has to creep through those windows, right? We have to get His power in every home. Number 10, our goal is long-term discipleship. In other words, it's not just having an event. And this is where the John Wesley kind of comes out in me. The crowds are important because if you can't attract crowds, you're not going to have many people you can disciple. But if a crowd is your end goal, then you're going to miss out on the greatest potential that your ministry has. Right?
Right. That's right. We touched a bit on this earlier, but our goal is not for people to walk away just wanting to come back to our next event. Our goal is we want people to discover that there's a pathway to a better life in Christ. And we want them to feel that when we get there. So, you know, there are things that we can do in a service to share that, you know, whether it's just being very intentional about putting things in front of people, even if it's subtly that says, you know what, this isn't just a service. You know, what kind of ministries do we have that serve you, that can serve your family? growth tracks, discipleship tracks, just that when people come on Easter Sunday, again, we don't want to be salesy, we don't need to shove it down people's throat, but we want it to be visible for people, that they understand that this isn't just a service. There's a lot here that can help me grow as a person, that can help, you know, me and my family grow as a person. So I'm thinking about that in the way that you program your Easter, thinking about that, what do you have out in your lobbies, how are you connecting people? And just remembering that, you know, Easter's not just about the service, but it's about what we're assimilating people into and giving them an opportunity to be a part of. And obviously, it's a great time to also be focused on those things, because when you do get people into those discipleship classes, growth track, next step, whatever those are, you want to be ready to really serve them and to do well. So, you know, it's important. Easter's not just big for creative. Easter's not just big for marketing. Easter's big for your church. Mm-hmm. Because, man, you're going to have an opportunity with some people on the backside of Easter if you do it right.
Yeah, I mean, we've had some Easters I thought were so good it was hard to come the next Sunday.
Yeah.
And to see there weren't as many people as I wished were going to be there. But what you're saying is so good. And I'd encourage everybody, depend on how you're wired, make sure that you sell the sizzle and not just the steak. And, you know, people, when they leave, they don't remember everything you said, but they sure remember how you made them feel whenever they leave. And so when people come into your lobbies, did you make them feel like we couldn't wait for you to get here? When you're sharing what God's doing in your church, is it an authentic testimony that the biggest part of your city needs to hear? Because you're never going to have another opportunity like you're going to have when it's Easter or you do a musical drama to have so many ears listening to you. So what kind of testimony are you going to share? How authentic is it going to be? How applicable to their lives is it going to be? Yeah. And I would just say that, I mean, for most of us, when we buy a car, we start with what it looks like, right? Hey, that looks cool. Yeah. That looks nice. And then we go to the crash ratings and we make sure it's safe. And then we go to, if you're like me, you go to the, okay, how long has this engine been used? What vehicles was it used on? And yeah, you go down into things, but we need to make sure that if our goal is long-term discipleship, whatever we do leaves people in the state where they leave our building saying, man, I like what it feels like in here. And I think I want to be a disciple.
That is so true. I mean, it's proven in the mind that people make decisions based on their feelings. It's a logical decision, but it is really not. Your decision maker is where your feeling is. And so that's so true.
Yeah, and some people should probably think deeper when they make a decision, right? Some people should. But even the deepest thinkers, it comes down to feeling in the end. It really does. So I love this one. Here's tip 11. Make it fun for the kids.
That's right. Yeah. The thing about kids is if they have a good time, they're going to be talking about it, right? They're going to be talking about it that day at lunch. They're going to probably be talking about it that whole week. And so, man, how awesome is it when kids are actually wanting to bring their parents to church? And so, you know, I think Easter's a great time to invite, you know, the kids pastor or whoever's leading the kids program and invite them into, you know, what's happening for Easter and talking about what's happening. And don't get, you know, we don't want to get so caught up on what we're doing in main service that we neglect Easter for kids, because it's so, so important what's happening back there. And like I said, if the kids love it, they're going to be talking about it. And so that's important. Yeah. We do a few things. I know Pastor Tony, they've done Holy Land tours back there where they take the kids through several scenes and they just kind of teach them the story of Jesus, and it's real interactive and they have a good time. We actually, on Saturday, we've been doing a community Easter egg hunt where we just invite the community out and we just love on them. They have fun. And of course, we're ready to, you know, invite them to church. They actually do like a ticketed thing where you can draw a ticket and you can win a grand prize on Sunday. Mm-hmm. So you'll have people come back Sunday and be a part of the service. But just being
That's
real.
A cool thing. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. It just gives us an opportunity to minister to the community and have fun doing it. But it's just, you know, being very intentional, just like with everything we're talking about, really in every area of our church, Easter right. should be this way. And you definitely don't want to forget the kids.
No, you don't want to forget the kids, because whether we like it or not, the reality is in our culture, kids drive a lot of decisions parents make.
Right.
It's just the truth.
It's true.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, marketing is geared towards kids now. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of sad. I think it was one of the royals or somebody said that America's a place where kids are raising their parents. You know, but it was, I mean, there's a lot of truth to the values of kids are driving the decisions that parents make. And, of course, we love our kids. We want to turn our heart towards them and want to do all that we can. And right. I think it was, Amy, when you were still creative director, that we were in the middle of COVID. We said, what are we going to do with our kids, right? Because you're having trouble with kids workers and all right. that. And we came up with Kidsplain It, where we took our awesome children's pastor, Tony Velasquez, who's like a big old magnet to people. Yeah. And we put him up and he said, I'm going to take one big idea and bring it down to a teeny little truth, and he did it way better than I could. But anyway, it really caused parents to sit back and look forward to that because yeah. they said, man, that's what my kids are learning every right. single week. So however you do it, I think the temptation is to get overwhelmed, and we've worked hard not to do that with how we said things. That even if you just had a kid explain it this Easter, right. then that there's a takeaway, something good for you in these 55 minutes that we spent together and just have a few minutes left. But I would just say it's Easter, so do something less to do nothing and tell your people that we want to make Easter big for our kids and just watch how they smile and how they get excited on yeah. Sunday. Here's the final thing, and that's tip 12, and that is we want to harvest the fruit through great follow-up. And Amy, that's your department now, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, after the weekend is over, we all know that the real result is not in the hopefully larger crowd that's attracted, or actually even the salvations, the number of salvations, but it is getting the people connected in to the body where we can truly disciple them. Because, I mean, we know what the Bible says. It says the devil comes immediately to steal the word. It's not just, and I love that that is so not your heart to just get them saved and... You know, but it's to get them connected into the body where they can be discipled and matured with other mature believers. That's just so important to us as a church. So we put a lot of focus into that, how we connect with them to a second, third, fourth visit, keep as much follow-up, kind of walk them through, hold their hand and walk them through till we really see them go to the point that they're connected into a team or a group. And we know that they are, and we know who their leader is, and we know that they're being connected to, and we know that if they have a need, that we'll know how to support them in that need. It's what the church is about. It's being the church.
It is. It totally is. And I'm going to have you pray, Amy, in just a minute, just over the pastors as we go out. But I want to just say that, you know, for 25 years or so, from like 1990 to 2015, 2016, we were growing every year, and it was just exciting to do more every year. When you get older as a church, you know, you almost have to renew your wineskin. You have to do some things, which we're doing now. But one of the things that I just want to really encourage pastors in is that we're all facing something right now, and that is that we're in a post-Christian world. You know, boomers give half to the church that their parents gave. Millennials give, I think, a fourth of what their parents gave. So we're confronting very real things as pastors. And if we ignore them, it'd be like ignoring an oncoming truck as you walk across the street. You don't want to ignore an oncoming truck. So our church is set to battle because I saw this coming years ago. But the thing that I want to say is that moments like this can really turn people's hearts around. So I've watched people in my church, they get influenced by culture. People used to come every week, now I have my kids and all this stuff, and my kid wants me to do this, and pretty soon they're coming less often. But you have a big event, and lots of people come to Christ, and they think, you know what, I need to be involved in the disciple-making process of my church. Yeah. And sometimes events share truth so much more powerfully than just words do. And the event then gives you the ability to say, hey, I'm going to teach you something. For instance, Jesus in John 13, when he was getting ready to go to the cross. I mean, it's amazing that 25% of John's gospel came down to 5 hours that he is with Jesus. And Jesus, when Judas was going to betray him and Peter was going to deny him, he taught them the value of loving each other. That when people betray their best life, you're going to love them and get them through it, or you're going to judge them. when people do what they shouldn't be doing? Are you going to judge them? Or are you going to love them and get them through it? And Jesus used moments. And I would say, man, use the moment of Easter to make sure that your church knows how important people's lives are and how much potential we have to disciple lives within our community. And it doesn't matter if it's three or four, because I've been there, or whether it's 200. Don't let it be a crowd when it's all over, because it's not about crowds. It's about people. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Okay, well, I didn't know I was going to pray, so I'm a crybaby. I don't want to cry, but I'm praying for some men of God here and their staffs. That's important. So, Father, I just thank you. Thank you so much for these men and women and their staff and their team, these men that you've, and women that you've strategically placed where they are, Father, and you have brought people around them, Father, to help support them. Father, I just pray that they feel very supported in everything that they do. Lord, I pray for wisdom. I know money's a defense and intellect is a defense, but wisdom is life. So I pray, Father, that they have the wisdom, the ideas. You're the best creative out there, Father, that you will give them creative ideas and that you will show them how to empower people and that you, Father, will just invigorate their church with life and community and, Father, unity in Jesus' name. And I just thank you for this Easter season that, Lord, that they are going to be able to maximize the most out of their Easter season with the people that they have, Father, that you can show, you can do so much out of a little bit of faith and, Father, some the planning and all the things that has to be put into it. But, Father, you can bring, we've seen you do so much with even very little. So I thank you, Father, that you expand their vision, Lord, to see how you see and draw people to them. And I just believe that many people will get saved, many people will get connected, lives will be changed, and churches will just really blow up to the point that you have them. Father, you've got the vision for it. You know what you've called them to do. In Jesus' name, I just thank you, Father, for it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you guys for being with me. And thank you for sharing out of all the stuff that we've kind of learned together. Sure. And can't wait till 2 weeks. We're going to have Pastor Mark Harrell from Somerset with us. And we're going to talk about making sure we're prepared for people to return to in-person attendance. We just had Omicron and you know, that affected how people think. But Pew Research really shocked me recently. I found out that 56% of Americans think it's going to take a couple of years for life to get back to normal. We don't want it to take that long. So we're going to talk about some things we can do to help people in our community begin to help people get by what's going on in their minds, because it looks to me like it's going to go from pandemic to endemic. And when it does, are we ready to really help people, you know, root themselves in what's going to cause God to do great things in their life? So thank you for being with us. Pray you have a great weekend. And man, it's just a blessing to be a part of what's going on in our network and one another's lives. Love you.